you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every
670.
Week.
670.
Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. Time now to go out to the Arturo Tire Hotline. Arturo, your hometown tire, Arturo.com. where we find our regular Wednesday contributor from the NFL Network, Stacey Dales. Good morning, Stacey. How are you?
Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning, guys. Great to be with you. Ruthie, does this mean I'm going to see you at Hallis Hall in like 3 hours?
No.
Oh, shoot.
No, I'm not there today, but
okay.
Yeah, I'll let you hold it down.
Great to talk to you guys after a really tough week two by the Bears, as we all witnessed on Sunday Night Football.
When you are at Hallis Hall, when you do sit there and listen to Caleb Williams, what tone do you think he will set and what demeanor do you think you will observe? Because it was a rough night for the rookie quarterback. 7 sacks, 2 interceptions, had a third called back, and this is part of the learning experience for all young quarterbacks endure.
Yeah, I think he's an incredibly accountable quarterback. I think you guys have witnessed it as I have, throughout – really, you know, the moment he became a Chicago Bear. I think that what we saw was his toughness. That has been evident for me in the last two games, obviously, against Tennessee and now Houston. He took a beating. When I watched that game, I don't typically like to tweet or X or whatever you call it these days while I'm watching a game because, you know, there's a lot of people sitting in their basements responding to things that really aren't around teams and don't, you know, study the teams the way that we do day in and day out, with all due respect to those people. But, like, I got so frustrated because it felt like he was, you know, poking at a bee's nest every time he touched the football. Every time the ball was snapped to Caleb Williams, it felt like he was entering a hornet's den. So he had zero time to throw the ball, to react, to do really much of anything. When you go back and you look at what the Texans did, their highest blitz rate in the D'Amico Ryans era in his second season as head coach, 42% of his dropbacks were against the blitz. And then when I went back specifically, Ruthie and David, and looked at the numbers, Azeez El-Shaair had 12 blitzes. He's their middle linebacker. Mm. Jalen Petrie had 7 blitzes. So if I'm, you know, in that game, like, and I'm the Bears, how are you not accounting for those two young men? Like, it was mind blowing to me to watch it. And so, David, to answer the question, I mean, Caleb Williams, they're going to have to figure out how they stop false starting, how they discipline their offensive line, and then how they are able to, like, adjust in-game to a blitz package. He's the most blitz quarterback in football right now, as he should be. He's a rookie.
And you can imagine, Stacey, I mean, that's what a lot of teams are going to look at and say, okay, well, this is how we beat Caleb Williams. Do you anticipate any changes in personnel?
It's a great question, Ruthie, because I don't know how they can, because when I go back to training camp, as you guys know, what was the competition through training camp? It was the center competition. Now, like, first and foremost, as I've now covered the league for 16 years, the most important position on the offensive line to me is the center position. I could sit with Brian Baldinger, who I work with, who does Baldy's breakdowns, and he would probably agree with me. The most important position is the center position on the offensive line. People listening will say, no, it's the left tackle, it's the right tackle. The center makes all the checks and balances, really, and calls. You know, when we watch Monday Night Football, we listen to Jason Kelce in the booth, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame center. He made all the checks for Jalen Hurts, right? That's who Jalen Hurts got to learn from. When Jalen Hurts came into the league as a rookie, his center was Jason Kelce. And now it's Cam Jurgens. And if you go back and watch the Packers game from week one, they had a world of hurt, pardon the pun, with the center exchange, because it's brand new. Guess who's making all the calls now for the Philadelphia Eagles? It's Jalen Hurts. He learned from the best in the business.
Yeah.
So fast forward to the Bears, or rewind to the Bears from training camp. They had a competition going between Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates. Like, that's your rookie quarterback. So my question is then, who's making the checks right now for the Bears? Is it Coleman Shelton, or is it the rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams? It's got to be the center, right? The center is accountable to know what offense you're in, where the blitzes are coming from. Like, they're making checks. That is that position. Patrick Mahomes' center, Creed Humphrey, is so smart and he's so good, and they threw him into it. Look at Frazier right now in Pittsburgh. I mean, these rookie centers, to come in and step in and do what they're doing, it's incredible to me. You know, as we saw Creed Humphrey do a few years ago, like that is, you've got to figure out like how that relationship is working. And the fact that they had a competition there and now we're into the season, it speaks volumes to me where the Bears are at right now in terms of how they're basically in game picking up these blitzes and in these calls.
I don't think you're wrong. I think it's an excellent point, Stacey, but I also think that there's, when you watch the game a second time, you see there's one example that comes to mind. Caleb Williams walked to the line of scrimmage, identified the mic, and then they came after. And Braxton Jones still gave up ground, and I think his guy forced him to step up in the pocket, and it was a breakdown in protection. So I wondered I actually wondered that at the time, who is making these checks? Because it looked like it was Caleb Williams, and it should maybe be the center. You shouldn't have that all fall at the feet of a rookie quarterback. Moving forward, I don't know if they have any other option except for I don't know if they're going to change centers, but they could justify doing so. Doug Kramer is the backup to Coleman Shelton. Coleman Shelton has been I-65. All lanes are open in the first two games. I just don't know at this stage of the game. Isn't Flusi more likely to stand pat than to make changes?
Yeah, I think so. And listen, I'm not taking a shot at Coleman Shelton. Like, they're all learning. They have a rookie quarterback. So, but to me, the play designs have to be able to protect the offensive line right now and the quarterback. You know, when I go back, I went back and watched a bunch of stuff from that game on Monday, and the false starts are an issue. You know, Darnell Wright had a couple false start penalties. That's a communication issue. That's a discipline issue. That is a false starts to me are, obviously, it's loud. You're on the road. And let's not, as I said on Sunday night, like, make no mistake, this is a playoff team in Houston. They have an outstanding defense. D'Amico Ryans is outstanding. Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator's a Kyle Shanahan product. Like, they're a really well-schooled football team, and their pass rush is outstanding. you probably walked into that game thinking, well, the odds aren't on the side of the Chicago Bears. But the adjustments didn't happen. The second half was worse than the first half. I actually thought Chicago came out and started nicely. I thought I saw like massive improvements from their offense from week one against the Titans in terms of how they moved the ball, the simple throws, the check down type throws that they were able to make. They have not been able to establish any type of run at this stage this season, which to me is just like lack of I can't use the word conviction. It's not that these guys don't want to do well. It's that like they're trying to figure it out. I think it's going to take some time. And I said that before the season started. I believe that now. You know, if you go into this, I have this game this week, so I'm going to be at Halas Hall shortly. The Colts blitz at a 34% clip on quarterback dropbacks. That's the fourth highest rate in the NFL. So this is another opportunity. Now, they haven't been able to stop the run, like, at all. It's almost historically bad for the Colts in terms of how they're stopping the run right now. And I was on a call yesterday with Gus Bradley, their defensive coordinator, as well as their offensive coordinator, and Jim Bob Cooter. They are 0-2. Obviously, you guys know that. They have a lot of things to improve upon as well. But this should be an opportunity for the Bears to go in to the Colts, where Matt Eberflus is very comfortable at Lucas Oil Stadium. He had a lot of success there as their defensive coordinator, and establish a run game. And now you cannot play maybe behind the sticks so much. Like when you're playing behind the sticks because of false start penalties, penalty after penalty, the way that the Bears have been, it's not easy for a rookie quarterback. So I don't think this is going to turn into a Bryce Young type season for Caleb Williams. He's just so talented and smart, but you know, they have some things to fix up front and they've got to do it this week against the Colts. And hopefully, you know, you get the ball into these receivers' hands. DJ Moore looked very unhappy, throughout the course of the Texans game. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Caleb Williams can find his voice because he needs to start talking to these guys. You hope to see that kind of thing in game.
I am really interested to see the demeanor of the offensive players today, because I do think that's been a topic of conversation. And Stacey, I think one of the things that I keep having to remind myself over the course of the last few days is that the Bears were not supposed to win that game. And they had a chance to with, you know, a minute and a half left in the game in the hands of your rookie quarterback, who, by the way, until he threw the interception, was kind of moving the ball well there at the end of the game. And I think we are forgetting that what's really, I think, impressive about this team through the first 2 weeks is that perhaps the best thing for Caleb Williams in this offense is that you have a Matt Eberflus coach defense that's keeping you in these games and giving you a chance.
Yeah, Ruthie, you make a great point. I mean, they had a chance to win the game. They lost by 6.
Right.
Like, if there's anything we should learn in the NFL, right, it's like, watch Monday Night Football. Who the hell thought Kirk Cousins was going to, you know, waltz into Philly and beat the Eagles in this final drive? Like, that was stunning. So you're right. They had a chance to win it despite how, you know, how porous the offense was. Caleb Williams is still searching for his first NFL touchdown. You know, like, I think, you know, Ruthie, to your point, like, the Bears can do so much with that defense. I mean, you know, people will question Matt Eberflus. Like, there's one thing you cannot question. It's how he has this defense rolling. Like, they are outstanding, really. And I think their pass rush has improved. So, you know, they do have an opportunity this week. I'll keep saying it. I'm going to Indy. Anthony Richardson has struggled. The offense has struggled in Indy. The defense has struggled in Indy. So they have a chance to go in and get a road win. And, you know, we'll see what they clean up this week offensively.
This segment with Stacey Dales brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. Stacey, we heard from Mario Edwards Jr. from the Texans after the game. We heard the audio earlier in the show about Caleb Williams being panicky, about him being slow back to the huddle about things that they covered him up and he couldn't really see around him and he couldn't see down the field. And I understand that they won the game and that's a very good defense and they can say those things when you are on that side of the equation. I do wonder this, does it matter to a rookie quarterback that kind of reputational damage that he might have to absorb after a game like that? Does it matter psychologically? I don't think it will with Caleb Williams, but you wonder about the reputation, you wonder about the way teams will attack him, and you wonder about how lasting of an impact that experience will have.
Well, it's a great point you raised, David. I don't know how much Caleb Williams internalizes what he hears on the outside. By all accounts, from what we've learned about him, he seems to not do that. But as a human being, I don't know how you don't hear those things. What I do know is that Williams has the worst completion percentage against the blitz this season of any quarterback. And until that stops, that's a fact, until he starts making these defenses pay. I mean, what is a blitz? A blitz is when you add a fifth or sixth or seventh, anything more than your natural rush to the line of scrimmage. And what does that mean? I mean, to simple terms, it means there's something open. There's space behind you. I had this past weekend, I had the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Lions came with a big-time blitz to start the game. Baker Mayfield diagnosed it with Chris Godwin, and they had a brilliant relationship through the first half of the game, and Godwin had a touchdown. They exposed the blitz. So until the Bears can do that, these teams are going to keep blitzing Caleb Williams. And like, I transcribe everything, as you know, whether I'm at Hallis Hall or I'm not, or whatever I'm covering. And I went back into my notes, and Caleb talked about his biggest struggle this offseason. He answered a question, and it may have been one of Chris Emma questions, about pass pro. And that was something that, like, not just cadence, because we heard a lot about that, him learning the cadence this offseason, but his ability in pass pro to pick up where the pass protections are coming from. And, like, listen, these teams, they study as much as any of us.
Right.
What is said, what is not said. That's why you have coach speak during the week. That's why they look at what the quarterbacks say. They have moles studying everything that is said. And going into this season, not just being a rookie, but basically Caleb Williams suggesting that he is not yet comfortable identifying some of these blitz pickups, which he did in the offseason, is exactly what he's getting now. So does he hear it, David? Maybe, maybe not. But until they start to expose where the blitz is coming from on the field, things aren't going to change. And now you're going to see a Colts defense with Gus Bradley, who loved to blitz, obviously, as we've seen thus far this season.
How much of their offensive game plan and how big is the microscope on Shane Waldron and the offensive play calling?
Yeah, Ruthie, I mean, what we've seen so far is they want to throw the ball. So I think you could ask any Bears fan, like, he didn't have any time at all to throw it. To me, like, watching the Texans game back. So, like, where do you run the football if you're the Chicago Bears? They have 155 rush yards this season. 155. Mm. They were the best rushing offense in football, and it had to be, you know, like, Luke Getsy ran the ball with Justin Fields. That's what they did. That's what they're doing in Pittsburgh with him right now. Like, I don't know how you find a run game, or if you want to. I don't know what the identity is yet, because, like, I feel like Shane Waldron is a coach who wants to throw the ball, based upon what I've seen. So if that's their focus, they're going to have to figure out their pass protections and figure out where the open space is for all these receivers that Ryan Poles got to make plays.
Great stuff, Stacey. Have a great time at the game on Sunday. May see you there.
You're the best, Stacey.
You guys rock. We'll see you on Sunday.
Stacey Dales from the NFL Network talking Bears. Interesting take on Caleb Williams. Everyone's going to have their perceptions and expectations, and I would be very curious to see how he comports himself when he meets the media later today.
She's the best, isn't she?
She is the best. Yeah.
Just the best. Ugh.
When we come back, a lot of ground to cover, but we want to hear from maybe Bill Belichick again because he has some other interesting stuff to say. Not necessarily about the Bears. Got some other things, loose ends to tie up. Ruthie Polinsky is in for Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hello, Instaface.
Welcome back. It's Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky sitting in for Mully today, doing a great job. And we're talking a lot about football. Bless you. Bless you. We have a cough button. We don't know if we have a sneeze button.
I was off. My mic was off. I didn't think you'd pick it up.
I think we picked it up.
Did we pick it up, Brandon?
We've picked it up.
See, as we get later in the day, we're getting more fun.
Well, yeah. It's always fun to sneeze.
We're waking up.
A sneeze is very cathartic, right? Yes. We have fun. We sneeze here. We're the show that sneezes on the air. So we heard from Bill Belichick earlier. We want to get to a couple of things before we get out of here today. We want to spray to all fields in this segment because there's a lot to get to. But Bill Belichick also, we heard him talk about Ryan Poles' roster construction, had some things to say about the Super Bowl comeback that everyone remembers.
When I got back to the hotel, the game happened to be on in my hotel room. And so it was like about the start of the third quarter, and I said, you know what, I need to sit down and watch this and make sure that we still won it, because maybe that was just a dream. But, you know, in the end, when I think back about that game, I think, you know, just a lot of credit has to go to, you know, our three coordinators, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, and Joe Judge, for the adjustments that they made and the pressure calls that they executed. You know, we got the big strip sack from Hightower, and that converted a couple two-point conversions. Then we had two kickoffs where we tackled them inside the 15-yard line, and ultimately that was probably just enough yardage to keep them out of field goal range. So, you know, it was really a, you know, great job by the coordinators and obviously the players. You know, I've been so fortunate to be with those great players. Also remember Blank down on the sideline in the fourth quarter, you know, celebrating when they were ahead. And so, you know,
you saw that?
No, I mean, he's a pretty good dresser now. Like, Arthur always looks sharp, but you know, he was down there on the sideline, and you know, we were getting beat, and I'm like, Jesus.
That was on the Manning cast, Bill Belichick talking about 28-3 coming back and winning that Super Bowl. He's so loose. You covered him when you were
in New England.
Yeah. And I think anyone who's familiar with Bill Belichick a little bit, I just can't get over how much different he is post-coaching.
And you know what? He's getting better at it's funny, you know, we always say like we get better with reps. Like I can see Belichick getting better at this media thing with reps, and he's just getting more comfortable. And it's really, I think, very enjoyable and fun to see him be a human being, because when I covered him, it was a robot. I mean, he was out of a scary movie. Like I would get like nervous butterflies before I'd go into a Belichick press conference, afraid I was going to get embarrassed and have my career ruined.
Does any part of you look at Bill Belichick now having the time of his life, seemingly very comfortable as a member of the media? I thought that was hilarious. He called out Arthur Blank for celebrating too early. Is there any part of you though that looks at him taking advantage of all these opportunities and thinking, wait a second, you spent an entire career frankly disrespecting every member of the media who stood in front of you, and now you're a member of that proudly and having fun with it.
And I think it's going to be incredibly fascinating because he's going to be a coach again.
You think so?
I do.
At 72?
I do.
With a very active
lifestyle. I think this is all there's an ulterior motive here.
Okay.
And he wants to coach again. He loves football so much. I think he loves coaching. I think he wants to rebrand himself this season and eventually get back into coaching. So if he does, I think he will, how will he treat the media?
I like that take. It's going to be really interesting question too,
because he's going to have a different level of respect for what we do.
Yeah, interesting.
Because it's hard.
It can be. Today was easy.
It's hard to cover him.
It's hard to coaches like that. Yeah. To cover coaches like that, because guys who don't want to give a little of a glimpse of the personality because they're so afraid. Oh my gosh, if you do that, you're going to know what they're going to do on 3rd and 10.
I also think that, like, I covered Mike McDaniel when he got hired in Miami, and that's really challenging also in a different, who's the anti-Belichick, right? That was really challenging in a different way. What we do is hard. Give us credit.
In what way was it hard to cover Mike McDaniel, who said things that would, the toughest thing would be choosing what to focus on because he was so entertaining?
Was he entertaining? You thought it's entertaining?
From afar. What was annoying up close?
I think it was entertaining at first and interesting and intriguing. It got old for me.
Did it?
Yeah.
All right. In what way? Oh, I like a little ticked off.
I could go on and on. I covering the Brian Flores situation was difficult for me. I talked about this. This always comes up whenever I do radio. I don't know why, but it was a very transformative moment in my career. I think covering the Brian Flores firing, the Dolphins have back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in 20 years, and Brian Flores gets canned, and then is like bad-mouthed and becomes this like villain when I know that he wasn't. To most people, he's a hard coach to work for and pushes you hard, and he was a tough, 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 tough coach, and he had a tough football team. I mean, they won 6 games with the mailman on the roster his first season. And then he has back-to-back winning seasons, and a lot of people didn't like how they won those games, you know, and the way that he maybe handled the quarterback situation was, I think he would say that he has regrets about that as well. But anyways, all this to say that the way that that all transpired, I think hiring Mike McDaniel, who was the anti-Brian Flores in a lot of ways too, was just a lot. It was a very extreme move and
an overcorrection.
It was an overcorrection.
So if last year Ben Johnson was the most important assistant coach in the NFC North, I think this year it could be Brian Flores, because the way the Vikings are off to a 2-0 start.
That defense
is dangerous. It's attacking. And you talk about a relentless blitz heavy defense, and that's Brian Flores' unit. Speaking of coaches, another colorful coach we heard from yesterday, Chuck Martin, used to coach at Notre Dame on the staff of Brian Kelly, I believe. He's the head coach now for Miami of Ohio, the next MAC opponent to come into Notre Dame Stadium, which will be Saturday night. And Chuck Martin, we heard from him earlier during training camp about, he was the guy that was anti-iPad. Remember him going on that rant, the old guy? I loved that rant. I loved what Chuck Martin had to say also yesterday about playing Saturday night in South Bend.
My personal opinion, we're going to the greatest venue on the planet. I've been a diehard Notre Dame fan since probably the first thing my parents taught me. Like, wasn't you got to go to school and learn. Was like, this is Notre Dame football. This is Notre Dame basketball. This is the only team that matters on the planet. I didn't know there was professional sports, and I'm old enough that we didn't have cable, and we watched the game Sunday morning on review. Harry Callis is a big person in my life, you know, and people don't even know. I didn't even know he announced for the Phillies for years. I just thought he was the Notre Dame personal announcer. I didn't know he's a big Phillies guy, you know.
Chuck Martin talking about old school Notre Dame football. Gotta love that.
That's great.
Gotta love the respect for the tradition.
That's great.
I covered Notre Dame for 11 years, lived in South Bend during that time, and worked for the South Bend Tribune, and can relate to what he talks about, the reverence people hold and have for Notre Dame Stadium. It's much different now than it used to be when it held 59075, and that was the capacity, and it was the old school stadium that you saw in Rudy and all the things, but it still is a special place. But what's interesting about what Chuck Martin had to say was that it was a reminder of this. We just saw Thomas Hammack and the Northern Illinois Huskies go into South Bend and on that hallowed ground make the most of that opportunity. You know that Chuck Martin's team, pretty good MAC team, is going to come into South Bend ready to play. Looking at that as this is their legacy moment of this season for a lot of those kids, and they're going to come in ready to go.
NIU changed the discourse. Right, of any opponent coming into Notre Dame Stadium. I've never been to South Bend. I would love to go.
Wow, you've never been to a Notre Dame football game?
No, I've never been. I went to Michigan, Notre Dame at Michigan,
you are a Michigan
under the lights.
Grad, though. Do you really want to go to South Bend? Are you just saying that?
Yeah, and I've never been to the Shoe either.
You just went to Michigan, Arkansas State.
Well, it was the only game we're going to win this year. It's the last game we win all year long. No. I just went. It was more to just visit and be an alum. Man, I feel so old going back to a college campus these days.
Oh, please.
It's crazy. I mean, I graduated 11 years ago.
Okay.
10 years
ago. Who was the quarterback? Was that Shoelaces?
Oh, yeah. Denard.
Okay. Denard. Yeah.
We were terrible. We were trash. It was Brady Hoke.
He was good.
It was Brady Hoke years.
Oh, no. And then, there would be no disparaging of Brady Hoke.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
I know where you're coming from. Maybe.
Don't get me started about my love for John Hoke.
Okay. John
Hoke. The Bears corners coach.
You know, John Hoke was also a defensive back of Ball
I
State.
Did know that.
Yeah. Thank
I
you.
Did
we
know
have that in common. So I will not disparage John Hoke either.
Yeah.
The Hoke family. None, you can't criticize them on the show.
No, I am.
That's a rule.
Yeah. That's a wonderful man. It was a rough time at Michigan. I actually, Hoke was fired my senior year, and they hired Jim Harbaugh as I was leaving.
Harbaugh was coming in.
Turned out pretty damn good.
It did, didn't it?
Yep. And you know what? I think there's an era of the Michigan football right now. It's like, all right, it's a transition year. You can't win the national championship every year. You know what I mean?
So what was your mindset last January after Michigan won the national championship?
Yeah.
Obviously a lot of school pride as an alum.
Don't ask me about Connor Stallions.
I'm not asking about Connor Stallions. I'm asking you about the mixed feelings. If you respect Matt Eberflus, I respect Matt Eberflus. I even like the guy. I know that's not all that popular in Chicago, but at the time, Jim Harbaugh was rumored to be going to the NFL. He's done a great job with the Chargers so far. They're 2-0. They play the Steelers this week. That's going to be a fun matchup, Justin Fields against Jim Harbaugh, so to speak. What was your thought when Jim Harbaugh was on the market and Matt Eberflus was on the hot seat?
I saw the way that the Chicago Bears played for Matt Eberflus at the end of last season and the way that they were fighting till the bitter end. And I was all in on the Flusinator.
You were enthusiastic.
Yeah, I was enthusiastic. Yeah. I felt like there was something brewing for him, and I just am a believer in being patient. It wasn't about who's out there on the market, but I just think these things take time, and we've seen a complete roster overhaul. Don't talk, you know, offensive line aside.
Right.
I just wanted to see some consistency. I just think decisions are made so fast now in the NFL when it comes to coaches and quarterbacks and play. I am a believer in patience, and I wanted to see more Matt Eberflus.
It's definitely underrated patience in terms of football organizations, football decisions. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers as an example. We mentioned Justin Fields starting 2-0. Mike Tomlin has been there forever. I mean, they have stood by him. Now, he's always won, but there have been times where they could have lost their patience with the Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin was funny this week. Did you see what he had to say when questioned about giving away petty game balls and wanting to, obviously his media audience wanted him to share what was his thought process in doing that. This is how he answered with one of the best analogies you're going
to
hear.
Like Justin mentioned how rewarding it was to get the win in Denver for Russ. He said you gave out a petty game ball. Is that something that you've done often? Is it rewarding for you to get that win for him?
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public, because it's about our collective and how we come together and how we appreciate and support one another. And, you know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
I love that.
I love that, man.
I think he's my favorite NFL head coach.
Has to be. Who's better?
I like Jim Harbaugh. I like John Harbaugh. I like the Harbaughs.
The Harbaughs are great.
I like Mike Tomlin.
Jim Harbaugh's love for Justin Herbert is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Like, the way he talks about Justin Herbert.
Well, that's just because he can't help himself. He goes through that situation, and he's got a franchise quarterback. Yeah. Any new head coach would be that infatuated with the guy who's going to make him a lot of money and make him very successful.
Yeah, it's a great situation for him. But yeah, no one better than Mike Tomlin. Funny that Justin Fields came out and talked about the petty game ball.
It doesn't sound
like Mike Tomlin was too happy about that.
What do you think happens there once Russ gets healthy? Do you think that Justin Fields keeps the job until they lose? Or do you think that he's a good fit for this system?
Yeah.
And this also shows you what happens when he gets pretty consistent offensive coaching. I wonder if he keeps the job even after Russell Wilson returns to practice.
I think there's a good chance of that. We'll see what happens this week. I am so happy for Justin Fields. I wish him nothing but the most success. And I was on the record saying, keep Justin, build around him. You know, let's see how it goes. And I'm thrilled to see how it goes. And I think if they win this week, man, it's going to be really hard to put him on the bench and put Russ back in
there. If they beat the undefeated Chargers and Justin Fields has something to do with it, you can't bench him.
Right.
And I don't think Mike Tomlin will.
No, I don't either.
He's a very practical thinker. That's why he has survived as long as he has and succeeded to the extent he has. He doesn't make dumb decisions.
And he really has his finger on the pulse of what the vibe in the locker room is. It feels like the players have such a great communication style with him. And if he feels like Justin Fields has the locker room, he's not going to destroy that.
Want to get to one more thing before we break and get to transition. This is a hockey thought, so we have to get to hockey. You know, Ruthie, I love hockey. I love talking Blackhawks. We don't do it a lot on the show, but the season is right around the corner. Training camp starts before you know it. Nick Foligno was named the Hawks captain this morning. They announced that, and I love Nick Foligno and all that he brought to the Hawks last year and how he was looked out for Connor Bedard, and I think he's a tremendous asset on a team that might be better than people think because of the offseason they had. They added a lot of experience and depth, but I don't know why Connor Bedard isn't the captain of this team. I want him to grow into the role, but I want him to have the C on his sweater. I look at Caleb Williams immediately from day one. The only other comparison you can make in Chicago to another future, hopefully, star on his team, franchise quarterback. He's a captain, wasted no time in assuming that role. Connor Bedard should be the captain of the Blackhawks.
I think it's an interesting take. If there was only one captain for the Chicago Bears, would you have Caleb Williams as your captain?
Hmm. Well, that's a good question. You kind of backed me in the corner there. Hmm. No, I would not. No, I would not.
Okay.
Who would you have? Who would be your captain? If you had one, if you had named the spokesman for this football team, that's a good question.
It is a good question.
Because defensively,
I got mine. Hmm.
Defensively, they don't really have anybody that fits that profile naturally or automatically comes to mind, do they?
I mean, you could do one of the linebackers, TJ or Tremaine.
I would say Kevin Byard, but he's been here 5 minutes.
I was going to say Kevin Byard, but it's his first season here.
Yeah.
But he's got a great, our Mike Berman on NBC5, shameless plug, when we did Sports Sunday this past weekend, Mike Berman got Kevin Byard in the locker room after the game, and his demeanor is so captain-esque. He's such a veteran. He has such great messaging, and he can control the narrative, it feels like. And I love the way he broke down the locker room, you know, after their week one win.
How about Big Dog? Mercedes Lewis. I don't want to say Big Dog.
Didn't he get it? Yeah, Big Dog.
If I say Big Dog, you're going to think stuffed animal.
I know. That was the whole afternoon bit.
That was when you were having so much fun in the afternoon.
I'm having fun here too. I'm having fun here too.
We're the serious show. So much structure. We're going to have to get to a break here soon, Ruthie. We are structured.
Let's think about this answer for a minute.
Okay. So you.
Cole Kmet?
I like Cole Kmet.
Maybe you should play more.
He's very.
You should block more.
That's fair. Didn't have a great game.
Let's revisit that. Pick your head up, son. Look for somebody in another color jersey and hit them.
I like Cole Kmet. Come on. We're asking for
he's
a captain.
He's the Chicago Bear. Like, he could be in the mascot suit. Hey,
did I see a story? His brother is a quarterback for the same Viator?
Mm-hmm. Has the same quarterback coach as Caleb Williams.
Is that right? Wow.
Bears are paying for that, too, in some way or another.
Well, it's money well spent if you keep him on the field. He's got to play more than 50% of the snaps. Throw him the football too, Shane Waldron. Come on, what's the fascination with Everett? Really? That's
his guy.
Topic. All right.
It's his guy.
New toy. All right.
We're going off the train tracks.
We need to get to transition because we need to keep this train on the tracks. This is the serious show, by the way. And seriously, you can now be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. Be a part of a live studio audience September 25th. That's next Wednesday, 6 to 10, Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan. Breakfast with Billy, catered by Schmaltz Deli. Yes, that's going to be worth going to. 312-540-0670. All brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. When we come back, Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris. It's transition time on Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.